welcome back to the Danger Room. We are finally here after the Christmas episode gauntlet.
Plus indeed a gauntlet.
Man,
people have been thirsting over hard.
Dude, Mike, you did the Lord's work with that, bro. That was amazing. Absolutely fantastic. I only did one episode. I felt bad. I was like, man, I'm a lazy bum. You did a fantastic job.
No, it's fine. So rewinding slightly. So with me today, I have Chewy and Deaton. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good, actually, man. It's snowing like crazy out here in Wisconsin. Terrible.
Dude, you guys are in the middle of the freaking blizzard apocalypse, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, this is heinous, and no one should have to live through it.
I'm just relaxing here in sunny SoCal, and it's pretty relaxing.
I'm so jealous, dude. I really am. Ugh.
Chewy, I told Mike before you jumped on that my snowblower broke yesterday. Oh. a cable snapped that like no one has locally. So,
dude, I'm sorry to laugh. That sucks, dude.
You made the fatal flaw of testing your stuff as the issue is occurring. Like
testing, I was snow blowing from the 12 and a half inches we've already gotten this week. I was doing the job. It's a never ending. I've shoveled four times today. It's like my back hurts. Give me a break,
dude. I'm good on that, man.
No, it's all good. Gives me an excuse to sit in the house like I normally would. So
yeah, I mean that's pretty much all I'm doing right now. I'm just sitting here.
If people slip on the sidewalk, that's their problem.
Pretty much, yeah. I'll just get sued, but I mean, yes,
exactly.
Yep.
All right. So what we have been doing, what you guys have been a part of lately, is all of us have been playing in the Timeline TTS event. And we've been wanting to talk about timelines, but we were going to wait until we've played it a bunch, and we have now. So, Deaton, you should explain. I don't know. Is there anything to explain? Everyone knows what Timelines is, right?
Yep. Just an important note is that the event we're in is the condensed 6-round version, not the 9-round version. So it's 1-2-3-3-2-1 is how you play your rosters, which is a little different than kind of the full blown. I think it's 1-2-3-1-2-3-3-2-1. There's a little bit of weirdness, whether it's the 6 or 9 round version. So
let's start with this. Chewy, start talking. What did you decide to play for Timelines?
I played Brotherhood, Cyclops-led X-Men, and Spider-Foes led by Doc Ock, obviously.
Well, Ock and Goblin are both legal, right? So you could just play both.
I could play both, yeah. But I mostly played, you know, it was an opportunity for me to play like Doc Ock. So I just always played Doc Ock whenever Spider-Foes came up. So I was like, okay, whatever. But those are the three rosters that I played. Brotherhood, I mean, they're clearly the best affiliation in this format. At least in my opinion, I think Web Warriors and Avengers are somewhere near there. But I mean, clear as day, they're the best, right? And I'm comfortable with Brotherhood, so I'm just obviously going to play them. I got to say, like, I found out about the event, like super late, right? So I made my roster the day before roster submission was due. And two of my rosters were sort of illegal because I didn't realize Age of Ultron wasn't a legal card, and First Class wasn't a legal card. Granted, any of the games I played, they didn't make a difference at all, so it really didn't matter. But no one really spot checked that, and you know that was the only concerning part I had so far over the Timeline event. It's like, who's really spot checking these lists and making sure everything's legal and all that stuff? Because you know you don't want anything illegal to slip through the cracks, and someone losing a game because oh my god, a card was in their tactics cards list or whatever. But anyway, yeah, those are the three that I played.
Yeah, speaking of that, there's a lot of overhead for the TOs for these events. And if any listeners are unaware, like this, only a subset of MCP is legal in this format, like characters and tactics cards. And then like everything is singleton across three different lists for every player. So like it's very easy for a player to submit like the same crisis listed twice, like two different lists. And if TOs don't catch that, then you as your if you end up playing against those people, or if you notice that you have to point it out, it's just a lot of overhead to even make sure everyone's playing legal lists.
Yeah, it's a lot, like you said, and I think there's almost no way to do it at a huge event, right? Like, how far in advance do you think like an Adepticon would have to have list check?
Yeah, that's right. Like, you can't even do like list submission like the night of or anything. It has to be like, I have to give these TOs time to check this crap.
Yeah, and I think it's super impractical to do, unless you're using like a coded list or something like that for 64 players. That's 180 lists to check and then to try and fix, and people are traveling. It's a nightmare.
So let's go back to what Chewy was playing.
Yeah, we're going back to my, yeah, about my roster. So do you want like a specific question? Like, is there like why I chose?
Yeah, why did you pick what you did?
Oh, sure. I mean, it was, like I said, Spider Foes, I mean, that's my home, right? I mean, Brotherhood and Spider Foes are like my two main rosters that I played the most of and gotten the most reps in. And it was an opportunity for me to feel how good Doc Ock is. He's the new leader that the Spider Foes have. And I could see how he plays versus how Goblin plays now. And to be fair, I don't think Spider Foes, at least in this format, is the one of the strongest affiliations to play in it, because they're missing a lot of stuff, right? I mean, we don't have their Sandman and what's the other stuff that's coming out? I think Electro and all that we saw already from AMG. So, you know, they're not complete, right? Not a lot of options. But what I did find was the minute I threw Black Cat and Rhino into the Spider Foes roster, they immediately like got better. Right. And that's because, you know, Rhino's absolutely fantastic. Well, fantastic in a way that in this format, he has a steal. And I think steals are very, very strong in this game because there's not a lot of turn one plays outside of Juggernaut, honestly. And there may be a few other characters that I'm missing that could do some turn one plays. I'm not really sure. But, you know, he can go steal objective, get it, and just basically turtle the entire time. Unless you're playing against Sploosh and he just blocks every single terrain throw I throw at him. And then he just kills Juggernaut just because. I mean, Rhino, just because. Because, I mean, that just happens. I mean, hey, I did the optimal play. You lived. Sounds good. It's MCP for you. And Black Cat, right? Black Cat and the Rot. And it immediately, the roster became really, really good. And I liked everything that the foes were doing, especially against my game against, I forgot his name already. Doesn't matter. My second round game was Spider Foes. And played Recalibration Matrix, kept myself alive. And with the extra power gen from taking a damage, my characters were flushed with power, and literally I made two attacks that entire game in one. I made two. You can watch on my YouTube channel. I made two total attacks that entire game in one just because I outscored my opponent on Struggle for the Cube, and it was Extremis. And I was like, yeah, okay, sounds good. X-Men, Cyclops led. The reason why I chose them was because, well, we don't have Xavier, right? And we all know I'm a Cyclops fan, right? I mean, as long as Mike is, and I've been waiting for this character to be buffed for 4 years. After people telling me this character was really good and he was fine, blah, 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 blah. And it was an opportunity for me to play an X-Men-led roster and with what I have. And it mixed with X-Force, too, as well. You know, I had Cable there. I had Domino, etc. So I can flex to X-Force if I want to in a certain situation. Like, if it was a fight on Demons or something like that or whatever, right? I could probably go X-Force or something and, you know, just start rolling dice and seeing what happens. If, you know, if it's a D shape or something like that, you know, I can play Cyclops. And, you know, Cyclops did some amazing things for me this time around against Deaton, because the first time I played against Deaton with Cyclops, I didn't roll the damage. I couldn't land a hit. So I couldn't see what the hell Cyclops' leadership could do at all. So this time around, though, you know, and the other thing is, too, I wasn't playing super optimal either. You know what I mean? I'm out of practice, right? So even with me not playing optimally, like the games we were playing, pretty close, and like we're a little bit of nail biters. I think this last one we played in the top eight, you were pretty much in control of that game. I needed a few things to go my way, it just didn't happen. I made a goofy play with Cable where I should have been within two of you of freaking Toad, and I wasn't. And I was like, oh, great. I was like, I'm a dummy, whatever. Toad lives good, but yeah, it gave me an opportunity to try teams that I haven't played. And I stepped out of the box, right? I mean, I think the typical like top tier three lists you're probably going to take, at least in my opinion, it's going to be Brotherhood, Avengers, and I think pick and choose between Web Warriors and something else, to be fair. But, you know, hey, if you want an opportunity to play, to get out of your comfort zone and try some of these characters out in a format where they can succeed, you know what I mean? Like, for example, I don't think, and this is just my opinion, I don't think Cyclops led by himself can succeed in the current format because of all the stuff that's in there, right? It can do fine, but if I wanted to run through a tournament and like win with that, you're out of your mind, right? There's just too much good stuff that, I mean, they're a little behind the curve, right? But in this one, I mean, I think I can get by, right? I think I can get by and do well and get a game and progress because there's not as much, right? They took out the degenerate stuff like the CGRs, the Hulks, you know, stuff like that, right? And Cyclops can do something. So can Ock, right? You just have to build it a little more optimally with, like, you know, like, for example, Foes, I was like, Rhino's going here. I know Rhino's better in Brotherhood, but I'm like, if I want to make this succeed, I think I can make Brotherhood succeed without Rhino versus Foes with Rhino, right? Like, I can't make Foes succeed without Rhino. Brotherhood has enough that they can survive without Rhino, in my humblest opinion. So, yeah, but that I don't want on a long rant here, guys. I haven't been here in a while, so those ask the reason.
we're giving the viewers your voice.
Yeah, giving them my voice. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the reason why I made the choices that I made. I made top 8 with it, and it was cool. And I was like, all right, we're doing some work. So,
there's something I want to add to your description of Cyclops. I've played a bunch of Cyclops here locally, and obviously, I wanted to give him a honest, fair effort since he's one of my favorite Marvel characters. One thing I noticed about Scott is that he has a power-based leadership, right? Like, you make damage with attacks, you can distribute power on your team. Two things that stand out to with Cyclops versus other power-based leaderships, and by power-based leaderships, I mean Magneto, She-Hulk, Dormammu, Emma Frost, and maybe new Doc Ock. All 5 of them give out power, including Cyclops. The difference with Scott is that he has to do damage with attacks, so what ends up happening is you're also giving your opponent power to get your leadership running, whereas all the other power-based leaderships, you can just not do damage. Like, a Magneto's maybe iffy, but, like, he could just throw terrain into terrain, generate power, and not do damage. Shulk and Doc are about taking damage, and Emma and Dormammu are going to generate power regardless of what happens. So they can run a more scenario on interactive game with the power that they have, with, like, displacements and steals and stuff. Scott just, like, can't do that. So, like, and then if Scott's, like, bringing those models in, the control-based models, then his leadership's probably worse because those models aren't making attacks. So, like, all I've found with his leadership is he kind of just accelerates everybody's power gain, or your team doesn't do any damage with attacks, in which case you're having a bad day anyway. And then that's not even counting the range 5 limit that they just put on his leadership for I don't know why. So it's, like, okay as a leadership. Yeah. I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't love it. But when it does go off, dude, man, can you pull off some crazy shenanigans, dude? Like like, for example, the dream scenario for me is if someone's within range 4 of Scott and I get 2 damage, right? That's the sweet spot. The sweet spot's 2 damage. If you get 2, well, okay, Scott goes to 3. You pass 1 to Wolverine behind you. You field leader him up. Like that, like nothing. The minute you field leader up Wolverine, dude, it is just, it's on and popping, baby. Like, you're popping bottles. You're slicing people up. Wolverine is getting in no matter what, bro, because what does that do? That turns on charge. That turns on his shenanigans, and he just goes, but that's, again, it goes to dice, right? You need to hit your damage, and that's the downfall. That is the downfall of the leadership.
I also want to add, like, Scott doesn't spend power very well, and at least he doesn't convert it into damage very well. So, like, he doesn't benefit from his leadership very much. And this is now everyone listening is going to crucify me for being like, but field leader. And what I'm gonna say is, I think field leader is just, like, worse than bow, and it's more expensive. Like, moving your opponent's models is usually better than moving your own. It's like, if I move my model, first of all, Scott can't leader himself. So, like, I have to move somebody else who's not their turn. My opponent now has a window to interact with me. Whereas if I just, like, can move their model, they can't interact with me before I decide to do something. It's just worse.
Yeah, no, it is. It is worse. I would rather bow than field leader. But I will say this, like, later on in the game, it does get a little bit nutty. Like for example, when I played against Deaton, if I would have just remembered stupid Psylocke's movement thing or just knew about it, right? Because I had a situation in the game where I moved up because he made a brilliant play with Face Me, by the way. If you guys want to watch it, watch it on YouTube channel. He moved Mystique, faced me to Cyclops, but faced me behind a size 4 building where I couldn't see Mystique and I couldn't shoot anybody, right? And I was like, that sucks, right? That is such a good play, Deaton. But you know what? I mean, I did throw his Red Skull one time, and he was sad about it. Left him on one bleed. We're not going to talk about that. But either way, he got me back, and that's fine. That's cool. We do this to each other. So he did that. And, you know, normally in that situation, when that happens to a character, you're like, damn, I got no other options, right? Like, it's a D. I can't really do anything else. Like, you lose, right? Well, Scott is like, well, damn, hold on a minute. I got Fear Leader. And it's like, okay, cool. I can go and do something now, put someone on a point, whatever, if you have the power. It's all, like, theoretical, right? You got to have the power, and you have to understand how your character works, and you have to use it properly. But yeah, like the fact that I could do that, and how I had Cyclops leadership working, I had almost everybody within range 5. Oh, the other thing that's stupid about it too, we caught this. It's after the attack is resolved. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, because when Wolverine does a spender, right, and I planned for him to be within range 5 of Scott, when he jumped with the spender, I couldn't go ahead and do Cyclops leadership to pass him a power to help him out. That was, wasn't it? I was like, geez, I'm like, why? I'm like, damn it. But yeah, I mean, the amount of movement shenanigans I was pulling off and like being within range 5 everybody, like I kind of have it down. And once you operate that way, like you see how it just kind of works together. And you know, I did like my 18 team into Deaton, actually. It was a Cyclops, Cable, Domino, Psylocke, almost said Electra, I'm sorry, and Honey Badger. I think Honey Badger was the downfall, to be honest with you. She was annoying, and she did create some crazy situations in our games, but the fact that she can't score hurts, right? Just for playing in a high-scoring scenario, we need somebody to score. But yeah. I mean, if I were to make one change to the leadership, I just wish it just handed out power. I wish they got rid of the range. Everybody else doesn't have to deal with that. Like, why does he? But whatever. It's a balanced model.
Yeah, I don't like that either. And I guess to cap off the Cyclops talk, I think he's like a balanced model. Like, he feels mostly okay. I wish he converted power into damage a little better than he does. I think his add dice on defense is just bad. Like, martial prowess is just a bad mechanic superpower in this game. And I just think he's fine in a game that has things that are broken.
Yeah, that's it. That's all he is. And it was just fun to play him for once in my life, right? And I'm like, okay, I can make him work, right?
I will gripe a little bit. My one thing with Cyclops that I was like, this, I thoroughly do not enjoy this, was that his hit and run doesn't work with his leadership. Like, you can't make the cool play of, like, doing a damage, walking, and then handing out the power, which is really annoying to me. But, yeah, I mean, Chewie was doing some cool stuff with the leadership, but it was fine. It just had a few too many constraints.
Yeah, it just feels aggressively fair, which is, like, an okay place to be, I suppose. But it is frustrating when you have to play against things that are not fair. But, yeah, Chewie, I guess as a whole, if you're going to sign up for Timeline Event again, what would you make any changes to what you're playing?
I would switch my foes list. I think I would play Wakanda. After rereading the new Black Panther, I think there's something there, and I think I can make it work in Timelines. I think I would take out foes, put in Wakanda. I still would stick with Cyclops just because we know new stuff's coming out, right? We know we're getting Xavier. We know we're getting Bishop and all that stuff, and Nightcrawler and all that. So it's gonna be a different landscape, and I can make changes there in the roster, right? I take out Jean and add Bishop, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Make my changes there, and I probably play whatever Xavier's leadership is. I'm probably just gonna throw him in and be like, okay, I have two leaderships, not gonna deal with two of them, right? Brotherhood, I stay the same. The only addition I would change in Brotherhood is that I would add Rhino. The fact that I would go to Wakanda, I would take out Rhino and put him in Brotherhood, because we know that's the optimal way to play it. And that's pretty much it, honestly. Those are the changes I would make right now.
Nice. All right, we'll get to like over generalized Timelines talk after this. But I want to ask Deaton, would you play in the event, and what would you change if you were gonna switch or play another Timelines event?
Yeah. So I played also Brotherhood, which is a common theme among the Timeline stuff. I played X-Force and I played Web Warriors. I actually thought that those were some super good choices. I liked all three of those. I'm not actually sure I would change any of those rosters. I would move some pieces around. So like where exceptional healing is, for example, I would switch that. I would make sure that I don't have two grunt models in one list in my X-Force stuff. So I think I liked those three, but I would shift the stuff around a little bit to, I guess, make more well-rounded rosters, which I don't know that I did in the first pass. But I think it's like Brotherhood is just a clear, they should be in your list if you're making a competitive timelines. Like if you're going to compete at Adepticon, like Brotherhood is really good. And so you should probably have a pretty strong reason for not having them included, in my opinion. But yeah, that's lots of little changes, I think, more so than big sweeping affiliation changes.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, I think. I have my list one is A-Force Web Warriors. My list two is Cyclops Cable, like X-Force X-Men. And my list three is Brotherhood. Notable splash characters. My webs list has Lizard and Shuri and Okoye A-Force. So they're there. My X-Men list has Elektra. Kind of wanted to do the whole Elektra Psylocke thing. I think Mystic Attacks are pretty good in the format. And then my list three has Rhino and Ultron and Dynamo. So it's kind of got high-powered splash characters. But I guess I want to talk a little bit about Brotherhood here. I think every list in the top eight at this thing had Brotherhood as one of their three.
Yes, they're in 21 of the 20 or the 32 lists.
Yeah. So I think Brotherhood's really good. They're probably one of the best things in the format. I don't think they're like head and shoulders the best thing. Like I think if they're good amongst other good things, I think there are things in the format that can stress them out. Like She-Hulk is one of them, in my opinion. I mean, I almost lost my Brotherhood game to Merzane. Basically, Blob saved the game, won the game for me. Without Blob, I lose. So Blob is really good. But yeah, what's frustrating, I guess let's talk a little bit about some overarching timeline things. So a lot of the midline grabs, like Eyes on the Prize, like the long move medium base characters, they're like not in this format. But like AMG still left like a bunch of midline grabs in the format. So it's like, where did they draw the line? I'm not sure. And when I say a bunch, here's all of them. Avengers Assemble with She-Hulk or Iron Fist. Juggernaut under any Brotherhood leader. Cat and the Spider with Spectacular and Black Cat. And to me, my X-Men. Am I missing any?
I'm sure. Did we get to five? Because there are five, right? Oh, gosh. We'll just say sure, and then we'll be corrected later.
Okay. Maybe there's another one that I'm not remembering. But, like, all three of my timeline lists have midline grabs. They all have two threats who are also, like, kind of a rarity in this format. Like, Bullseye's not legal. So, like, I have Toad, Okoye, and Badger. I guess Widow's not legal in the format either. So, like, neither is Wong. Yeah, so it's like just there's like a few of them. No Rocket, no Nebula. So like I have two threats on all my lists. I have midline grabs. All my lists have high threat models. So like, I don't know. It feels like AMG removed a lot of stuff people complain about, but left other things in that still like kind of do the same thing. I don't know. Do you guys have any opinion on that? You start with Chewy.
I just don't think they know all the midline grabs in the game, to be honest with you. And like, for example, I think they didn't know anything about Cat and the Spider, right? I honestly didn't know about Cat and the Spider because I never see that played ever. So I had no idea.
Jesus, Deaton and I were talking about this card like 2 years ago at LVO, yeah. But didn't play it because ASM was the logical user of it, and he just midline grabs anyway. So why would you do it?
Yeah. So that's news to me, and that's good to know, and I appreciate that. So I had no idea. Honestly, I just don't think they know all of them. I mean, I think Juggernaut was the obvious one. But Juggernaut, again, is one you have to know how to do his midline grab, which is basically with Magneto, for example. And I practiced this the minute Juggernaut came out 2 years ago or whenever it was. you know, you move, break terrain feature, you land on the middle, you pick it up, and then you move away. With Mystique, you just move twice, pick up the extract, because of the leadership, you regain the power, and then you just push yourself backwards or another direction or whatever the case may be. So, any other thing is too, is like, okay, we added Brotherhood, so let's, they have to have Juggernaut, so just put Juggernaut. I don't know. Yeah, I think this is just a situation where they just don't know all of them, and the ones that were are still in the format, if they're finding out about them now, they're probably like, oh, okay, this isn't too bad, right? They're probably, I mean, they had to have known Avengers Assemble does this nonsense, but again, it's I'm not in their room. I don't know what their testing is.
Yeah, I mean, Assemble's like the worst one of the five, in my opinion. Like, the other ones are, I mean, to me, my X-Men's also, but Avengers Assemble's like much better, usually, for other things. But like, Juggernaut is like basically no opportunity cost. Cat and the Spider's pretty low. So like, yeah.
I mean, clearly they know it's an issue, right? Because they would have kept Angela in. They would have kept, I mean, is ASM in the timeline list? I don't think so. Yeah, there you go. Right, so it must be on their radar. It's just, okay, let's just take out the obvious ones, and they're like, okay, and then we'll just figure it out from here. Do they need to, when they revisit timelines, do they need to look at everything else and be like, okay, we want it completely gone, we want the game back to where it was? I don't know. Time will tell, right? This is their first time doing something like this ever, so you know, Adepticon will give them enough information, and people who practice and do the timelines events or whatever, you know, maybe they'll gather that info and take a look at it and be like, okay, this is what we need to do to address this further, so that way we can get to a point where, you know, we don't have this anymore, or find a happy medium, right? You have to find a happy medium. What's acceptable, what isn't, right? So is Angela that egregious with a midline grab versus, I don't know, Eyes on the Prize and Bill, right? If she isn't, okay, cool, let's put her in here. Let's see what she could do. Let's see if she's a problem. Stuff like that. But I don't know. It's a tough one to answer. To me, it's just you just can't catch everything. Things in it, and they're in the game, right? They're here. So
yeah, I think what you said about where is the line drawn is really important. It's like, I don't know. You know, Assemble being in, it's like, that's the Avengers defining card. It's a significant amount of their strength, but it does lead to midline grabs. So I don't know. I find it to be fascinating. Like, they left some of them in, but they've increased the cost. So like, the cost of all of these, in my opinion, is very high. You know, a tactics card for at least a very good tactics card for most of these teams, like the Cat and the Spider being the one that you would maybe use early. And it's like, but that card's not very good outside of that. Whereas Assemble,
I'm interrupting slightly because another thing about Assemble's only stealable with She-Hulk and Iron Fist. Whereas to me, my X-Men, you can steal with any X-Men. And sure. So like, I would say Avengers Assemble has the highest opportunity cost.
Yes, I would agree with that. But even when you think about like the way your X-Men game goes, right? To me, is so good throughout the game. There are always opportunities to use that card.
It's fine. It's usually worse than Assemble is on an average case, in my opinion.
It is definitely worse than Assemble. I completely agree with that. But I think there's always a time where you could say, yes, I could use this movement now, either to rotate, to reposition things. Like I don't think that's non-zero. So that, yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm saying anything here other than I agree with the fact that it's weird to me to see what they left in, what they left out. Now, as we say that, while she was talking, I was a bad host and bad co-host, and I looked it up, and I did in fact have the Cat and the Spider in my roster when I won Bug Eater the first time. So I have won an event with Cat and the Spider, Core Parker. I never played the card. So
was that when you owned the starter set, Parker?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you are a god, Deaton.
I mean, I never played it, and so it's not like it's.
Oh, it's in your roster. It counts, buddy. Just like how they counted Colossus in some of the roster.
Fair enough, but yeah, and I think that extends beyond midline grabs, right? Like, what deserved to be in the format, what deserved to be out of the format, is very interesting to me. Obviously, it's Earth based, but like Storm got kicked out. It's like that's a little weird to me. Right.
Yeah. And like Cosmic Carol's here. She literally has Cosmic in her name. So right. Like, so I was super high on Timelines when they announced it. And I've kind of been bad mouthing Timelines in some ways because I definitely have cooled down a lot on it. I feel like it's kind of disposable, whereas it was really fun to list build. Now that I've played like a game or two with all my lists, I'm kind of like, I'm good. There's not a whole lot else to do with it. I would make like maybe some minor tweaks. I feel like my lists are about as optimal as they could get without having like new Wakanda or new X-Men. I mean, X-Force is like really, really good in the format, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I find frustrating is that, one, we don't have all of the characters that are supposed to be in the format yet. So it's like, I'd love to see what happens when like Shadow King comes out and things like that, Professor X. But to your point about lists being optimal, not optimal, I think it was Nate that said this on one of their episodes, but like, you're not going to play enough of this to get feedback, right? Part of the timeline thing is like, or part of the list building is playing lots of games, getting, you know, tweaking lists and things like that. And like, you just don't necessarily have that opportunity unless you're grinding a lot of timeline events, which just isn't going to happen. Or you're playing a lot of timeline specific games, which is also a little awkward to do because you have to think about, I need to go up against another timeline list, but is it, it's one of three lists, and is it good enough to bring? Because on the off chance, it's like a one in three chance I run into this. And it's just, it gets weird with how you actually engage with this in an ongoing fashion. I've had a lot of fun playing in this league, but I'm not going to play a timeline thing all the time. So that does drain some of the fun.
Many, many times, I've been playing Marvel for a long time, and so have you guys, but like many, many times playing Marvel and tuning lists for tournaments or something, I always start with weird stuff. Like maybe this character that isn't played a lot is good. And then as I approach the event and play more, it always comes back to the models that are played a lot. I've gone on months, like not playing Bill. Put Bill back on my list. Oh, like I'm just like winning games by a lot again, you know? So like the timelines, I guess the point I'm trying to make is the timelines format banned a lot of these upper splash characters. Like I would classify like Sam Wilson, Bill, Frick, who else is splash a lot? This is just like the two off the top of my head. Zemo, like Zemo 1 is another one. Hulk, obviously CGR is banned. Crimson's here. I think Crimson's kind of, he's pretty good, but he's fine. Who else? I know there's like a bunch of three threats that are not legal. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I guess Ghost Spider's not here either, right? She's just randomly missing. It always seems to come back to like just splashing the high tier characters into whatever faction you like playing, which has just been the game for eternity. And I don't think it's really changed that much. Now that I've made that point, the overarching point was that since those models don't exist, you just play like the affiliated the affiliated models of that threat in the timeline format. There's not a whole lot of like splash potential. So it feels not like there's like not a ton to brew. I don't know. Maybe brewing in the normal game is even like just an illusion, even because I just said that I come back to playing the high tier models.
Yeah. I think in timeline, like the initial spike in quote unquote fun was that people were you were answering the same sets of questions. How do I have a midline grab? How do I build three rosters? With like a different pool of characters, right? So you had different answers available. But what Timelines hasn't done is ask new questions because there's no actual meta building in it, right? So it's not enough to sustain actual, hey, let's build lists out of this, because characters that aren't good enough, a lot of them still just don't make lists, right? Like there's a handful of characters that I've seen in these timeline lists that have felt viable that I don't see elsewhere. The only character I think that has even remotely touched that bar for me would be like Elektra. She was very good in my timeline games. I've heard other people say the same thing. Now, is that good enough to make a normal list? I think maybe in a couple of places, maybe if you're playing in Defenders, I do like her in X-Force. But outside of that,
Claw.
Yeah, I mean, people are having success with Claw. I didn't see him in Timeline, but...
Well, I meant Elektra with Claw, but yes.
Oh, yeah, Elektra with Claw. Yeah, no, hey, there you go. But, like, I played against Sentinels and they were garbage. So it's like, it's not like, oh, hey, someone, the person who put them on the table was like, nope, still not fun to play these guys. It's like, so it's like, it didn't, that aspect of let's bring in these new models, let's see these get playtime, that was accomplished, but like, the person didn't have fun. So it was like, did it actually do anything? I don't know.
For speaking of Sentinels, listeners, if you haven't listened to the Christmas episode on Sentinels with AJ, I would highly recommend it, even if like you think Sentinels are bad or you're not interested in them. I think AJ did a fantastic job and actually has a lot of solutions as to how to play Sentinels in MCP to like somewhat effectiveness. But that being said, they have no flexibility. They're expensive. All their models do the same thing. And none of them do anything that is like a pillar of the game, in my opinion. None of them throw things. None of them are fast. None of them are cheap. Their leadership is whatever. Their tactics cards are whatever. So there's not a whole lot to talk about with Sentinels. I mean, the way AJ solved it is he kind of just put in, you know, the really good splash tier models of Sentinels. And now this is what we're doing.
Right. I mean, the thing is this, right? There's always going to be affiliations that are just better than other affiliations, right? Like Sentinels, you just gave me an example. I hate to say this, guys. I'm sorry. I apologize, Sentinel players. I love you guys. You guys are absolutely fantastic. You're amazing. You love MCP. I get it. They're not very good. It doesn't matter what format you put them in. It doesn't. You just said it just now. Your opponent didn't have any fun. Like, he did not win the game, right? He thought Sentinels, this was their time to shine. No. It just proves that there are just affiliations that are designed better than others, and they're going to function no matter what. For example, Web Warriors will function no matter what because their leadership is really good, their team building is awesome, and they have pretty damn good tactics cards. Brotherhood's the same way. Avengers are the same way. You know, A-Force, right? Shout out to A-Force. Like, Grant, they've done some crazy things in, like, Standard every now and then. But they're not, you know, but in Timelines, you know, they're, you know, in both, they're pretty good, right? So, if the goal of the Timeline was to, let's say, like, make some affiliations that were just flat out bad, and maybe they're just better in this format because, you know, the splashes aren't there, that's never going to succeed, right? Because if you're a bad affiliation, you will always be a bad affiliation. That's just my opinion. Like, Sentinels will never be good in any format unless they need to be fleshed out more too, right? I mean, they don't have like characters like Nimrod or, you know, it's just Prime and Mark IVs and Cassandra, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the power level of the best things in Timelines is similar to the power level that it would be at in the normal game. So like, if it doesn't, and what that does is it doesn't allow Sentinels to shine, even though like you might think they would. There's a point I want to make about Timelines has. So what Timelines did is they removed a bunch of characters from being legal to play. And what I think I have learned from this is that there isn't really a character problem in MCP outside of a few outliers, like a CGR bill or whatever. I think the overarching biggest issue with MCP is the crises. I think a lot of these crises are outdated. A lot of them have design problems. And I would like to see new crises in the future and rotate crises. So I'm going to give you guys some time to digest that and ask me questions on it if you think I'm a madman. Because I'm sure the listeners are like, what the heck is this guy talking about?
Well, with that being said, yeah, I mean, so what Timelines didn't do, like, we've already solved how to play these extracts and secures optimally, right? So when we got into Timelines, there wasn't anything new. We didn't get a new extract, new secure, nothing like that at all. We have the same old solved extracts and secures, just this time we have different characters, right?
One last thing about that. The reason I think that is because the crises are the things that ask the questions in MCP, and the characters are just the vehicles to answer the questions. There is a slew of characters that can solve many different things, but the crises still ask the same things at the end of the day. So just whether you remove the tools to do it or not, there are other tools that exist. So if people wanted like maybe a fresh take on MCP, the game structure needs to be different.
I really like that description of it about like, the crisis is the thing that asks the questions. I think that explains why Like, I hate Researcher, for example, so much just because I don't find the question it asks interesting in any way, shape, or form. The one thing I would argue with you about is that I think that this is the thing that can that they should change the most frequently. Like, and I think that this is probably the number one change I'd like to see, is crises changed way faster, way more frequently, and with more variety, right? Like, as much as I love my marked mats, give us new shapes, give us new dynamics, give us new ways this works. Because the idea that everybody plays the same thing is, it's true for me personally in the way that I build rosters. If I know I'm playing, you know, I'm playing Sam, I'm going to play Riots, and I'm going to play Scoundrels, and I'm going to play whatever the third one is, Infinity Formula or something. I go play Web Warriors, I'm going to play the same three things. I'm going to go play this other thing. It's just consistent, and maybe that's just me as a player not exploring enough, but then you, like, I've played a lot of Meteors lately, and it's like, oh, I shouldn't be playing that with these teams. There are new teams that they have buffed to put those, like, back into sort of, I'll say, the meta, right? Like, I think X-Force plays Meteors, and I think they play it really well. Same thing with, like, A-Force, right? Those teams being better puts those things back. But I think the same, having some of the same crises be stalwarts. Riots is still, like, the best scenario team secure, and it has been that way for 5 years. It's got to change quickly. Like, not like it's a pressing need. They should change it more frequently than every 5 years. And I think that that means getting rid of old stuff, even the stuff that's good. You can always bring it back in, right? Those are all of this, the crises that you have now are in your pocket forever. You can always just redeploy them. Give us a new set, you know, figure that out. So yeah, I think that that probably for me is the number one thing about the game, is that because people have solved some very specific lists and it works so well, it's like, unless something like Researcher comes out, it doesn't change.
An important side note to when you say that the scenarios are solved, Aaron Franklin on Infamous made a very, listeners, you should listen to this, their podcast, but they had a recent podcast about how Aaron played 601 games in 2023, and he played every model in the game numerous times, every faction numerous times. And one of his big takeaways is that everybody kind of plays the same scenarios, and he has data to back that up. If you're like a scenario team, you're basically playing the same secure set. If you're extract team, or attrition team, playing the same secure set. And this is what I mean by the crises need to be changed for the meta, or the way people view this game, to be different.
And I agree with that, and I would believe him too, because I feel that way. I mean, I feel like I play demons a ton of times. I feel like I play Extremis, whatever, right? The you know, Petaflips, whatever, the same ones every single time. And that's because people have, like I said, have solved it, and they know how to play it, and they feel comfortable in it, right? No one's really stepping out of their comfort zone to play something different. So this is what I would have done. This is just me with timelines, right? Since timelines is, you know, a different thing, and they wanted to give us a fresh take on MCP, 100% what I would have done was I would have gotten rid of extras and secures from people's rosters. And what I would have done was each round draw on a secure extract or something. Make it random, right? Like, do something, right? Throw a curveball in there, right? Like, we're making rosters, and let's go into the unknown now, right? Let's just go into the unknown. We don't know what the secure is. We don't know what the extract is, and that's what we're going to play this round. And that's what it is. I think that would have been something fresh, right?
I do think detaching the scenarios from roster construction would be really interesting in MCP. I think there are some other problems in the queue that are ahead of that, but if those problems were addressed, I wouldn't hate to see crises be completely random from the entire set, kind of like how Battle Realms was forever ago. And like I said, some problems ahead of that need to be adjusted, but I'm curious to see what Dean has to say about any of this, because he's been sitting here.
Yeah, it's just the game is more polarized than it's ever been, right? And a part of that is what you're saying, is that the secures, really, when you pick yours, it's very rare that you're able to really compete well when you get the worst version of the matchup, right? So it's like, when you put the best scenario team, which we'll just, for not to argue about it, we'll say it's Webs, you put them on Demons versus Guardians, the advantage in that game is largely decided on the first five dice of the game for each person in the priority roll. And when it's set up like that, I think that's where the system starts, like it just breaks, right? And they've done things in the past to try and help minimize this where they're like, oh, it's going to be random. But now it's just too easy to pick things that your team is good at. So for your secures anyway.
So when they changed the crises, they like got rid of a bunch of single extracts and like made some adjustments, and the secures were mostly untouched. They kind of just got rid of Terrigen and they tweaked shapes like ever so slightly, nothing drastic. They got rid of all or nothing scoring. I guess the big drastic one was Sword, but like, and they pushed Merfisk in. But a lot of the ones that were like people didn't complain about for mostly are like the same shape, but whatever. The secures, there's something I've noticed in this game, and I'm sure everyone else who listens has noticed it too. I'd be shocked. What is the percentage of players when priority pick their secures? It's got to be a massive number. It's got to be in the 90s. That is a yellow flag to me that there is a problem. I think for the turn zero in this game to work properly, you need both players to be happy with their half of the scenario. And the fact that everyone takes their secures with priority automatically says that that is not the case because nobody wants to take their extracts. So a big problem, I think, is that AMG put a lot of the extracts in the middle of the table, which forces people to fight. And this is off the back of a lot of people complaining that the game was too grab and run. I think the better argument is that it's grab and run because single extracts and overtuned extract stealing, namely Black Cat Voodoo, which has been nerfed now. Single extracts are gone. So like, I honestly believe that if someone was to put like a Panic Grips back in the game, that shape, it would probably, I take that back. It might not be okay, because if you can steal theirs really easily, but that's through more broken things. This is what I mean. There's things in the queue, but like, there isn't a way for both players to be happy with the scenarios that are pulled in the current game. And that is a problem. There's never like, I have not seen a team that's like, I always take my extracts first. I'm an extract team. It's always like, oh, I want to dictate the shape of the game. And a big problem with that is the secures incentivize one style of gameplay. And by this, I mean, the secures are some token on the table that's worth VPs, and then it has some kind of auxiliary effect. Now, Demons is you're incinerated when you're next to it. Scoundrels is you have cover. Riots, you can heal the damage. Notice how all the ones that are narrow incentivize killing people. And all the ones that, a lot of them that are wide, incentivize being durable or outmaneuvering. So it's clear to me that's why the secure set feels solved and why everybody always takes with priority. I had suggested this to, I think, Anders when we did the Brotherhood episode off air, but it was like, imagine if like Demons Portals was the F shape, like Scoundrels. And then like Demon shape map B was this, you have cover on them. Right. So that rings to me better design because there's something for every kind of team. And I think the extracts do a decent job of that already through in that change with the update.
And I will say this, I didn't feel like when I was playing Timeless, I didn't feel that way, to be honest. I don't know about how you guys felt, but every game I played, I felt like I was in it. Like it was a game, right? It didn't feel like, oh man, it's Guardians, it's Demons. Damn, dude. You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, it's research, it's CGR. Damn.
Well, it was definitely worse when you had like priority player liked picked the threat and their half, and it was like discard one, pick one. Yeah, no, that looking back at that is just complete anarchy nonsense. So like, they definitely made a lot of steps in the right direction, but as the game has aged and people have played a lot more, this is my new opinion on it.
Yeah, I think it's a similar problem that it was back then, and they need to make a change again. They need to continue pushing to try and bring things more to the middle so that teams are capable of competing in each different place, right? So it's I can play, and it doesn't, if I get a quote unquote bad scenario, who cares? Because it's like, really, it's not that bad. But right now, it's like you said, Demons incinerating is as silly as Scoundrels giving cover and having 5 points.
And it's like, maybe this is me, but I hate starting a game being like, all right, well, I'm already on the freaking back foot because of the scenario that came up, you know? And maybe that's on me. Like, I should be more like emotionally stable and just still play it through and not think it's I'm at a disadvantage. But I don't know. I'm sure other people feel the same way. And literally, like, I've been tabled on Researcher against CGR many times already. So, like, I don't know. Am I actually like that off base? I don't think so.
How much of that though do you think is what lists you ended up encountering and when you encountered them? Because I could easily see you getting like, I'm playing webs, and I get whoever wants to play demons, and then I play, you know, a different list, and you just keep getting the wrong version of the list, and it's like you could run into that three games in a row, like with three different lists, right? So it's like,
I don't know, man. I'm sure there are better webs players than me, but there definitely are. Like, I don't even think I'm that good of a webs player, but like, yeah, it felt awful. And like, if I just want games of MCP to feel like games instead of being like, oh, you're at a large disadvantage right out of the gate. So like, a big problem is, like Deaton said, that he would like to see faster iteration on the scenarios. And I agree. The problem is if they make a mistake, like it just destroys the game, right? Like, remember when Virus was on map E for like a day and it was just like a complete joke. So like, this is what I'm saying. Like, if they make a crisis like that and it's like, all right, here's our updated crisis, see you in 2 years, like this is a disaster. So they don't leave themselves any room for like iteration or mistakes. And like, I guess what I'm saying is there are avenues to like protect people from this. Like, there could be like a band one randomize from your last two, you know, that way, if something is absolutely like game breaking, the player can just ban it. And then it's like, fine, you know, or like they want extreme scenarios. You know, I'm a webs player. I ban my opponent's demons. Okay. You know? So like, there's avenues to do that, to like fix this, but the lack of iteration is not good. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess my biggest takeaways is that Timelines was fun at first. It was fun list building. I don't have a huge desire to play any more games with it. And it has taught me that there are less character problems in the standard game than I expected. And there are more problems with the scenarios than I expected.
I mean, I enjoyed Timelines quite a bit. Like, I enjoyed playing it, and I didn't actually list build until the day of roster submission. So I sort of was like, what have people been saying? Sure, let's throw something together. So that was interesting. I think that it not having the biggest problem for me and isn't that I don't want to play more Timelines. It's that I don't want to be the only person playing more Timelines. And so if there's not like a healthy meta, I'm not interested in like seeing that develop and you know, getting that challenge. So for that reason, I think it's going to struggle, but I have enjoyed the event. I like what they attempted to do with it. I think they found the perfect middle ground of they were both too restrictive with their timeline and not restrictive enough, in that too many things just aren't there. So it's like somebody likes to play Guardians, they just can't play Guardians. Like, that sucks for that person. Or Convocation, so maybe that'll get more empathy from people. But at the same time, they left in like Avengers Assemble. So, I, you know, it's like somehow wrong on both ends. But looking at the game through fresh eyes, I really do think, similar to Mike, was like, oh, there are some cool things you can do, and you can still be, you know, getting out of the trap of Bill has to be in every game. Getting out of the trap of Dynamo needs to be everywhere. Like, they are the simplest solutions. And so, I mean, sort of like Hulk has always been.
Well, dude, so like, I'm going to push back a little bit, and like, we've known about all these midline grabs, like us three, we've known sure. about these midline grabs forever. And like, I've tried to play other things than Beta Ray Bill. Like, X-Men was maybe the only list that maybe didn't want to play him. And even then, I think maybe the optimal build is to play him. But like, I can't deny the man's results. Like, I win games with him. I lose games without him. Am I bad at this game? Maybe. But I can't deny that even me playing Bill and watching other people play Bill, the model doesn't die. Even if Eyes on the Prize was like banned tomorrow, people would just learn that, hey, Bill is the best model to go stand on the freaking middle holding something and not die. So we've done nothing here. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. People in Discord can yell at me. That's how I feel.
No, Bill's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, I think yeah, if Eyes on a Prize went away, you're right. Like, he would just sit there and survive. I mean, that's what Juggernaut does. Does Juggernaut do the same thing? He goes in durable and doesn't die? Good idea.
For what it's worth, at WTC, my build died right on the midline. So, but no, I get what you're saying. And I think that, yes, Bill is ridiculous, and he probably deserves to be played most places. I think that forcing myself out of that mindset, even if it was temporary, was a good thing. Not having Bill available was like, oh, I'm going to go play X-Force with these other characters and see what they can do. And I think that there's a lot of value in what can other things bring me in this role rather than what Bill does. Because Bill does bring the tanking, and maybe it's just that's what every roster needs. But I don't know that I'm sold on that. So, because like I've been playing Spider Foes, not as a timeline list, with Hela instead. And it's like, that's been good and great and perfectly reasonable. Plays Juggernaut, so maybe I'm just playing Bill with extra steps. But, you know, so I don't know. I think it's yes, it's sort of illuminated why some of the models are problematic, but also they might not be as necessarily ubiquitous as the community is making them.
Nah, I mean, I don't know. I just, yeah, I've found my way back to Bill. Like, I took a bunch of time and didn't play him, and here I am playing him again and winning games. So maybe I'm just a scrub.
Nah, it's... No, you're not a scrub. What the thing is, you're recognizing that the model's really good and takes your roster to the next level. That's all Bill is doing, right? You're adding this strong piece to your roster of 10, and you're optimizing it, and he elevates your roster. And you need him, because he's... Can I say he's the best fourth threat in the game? Like, I'll say that comfortably. I think he is right now. It used to be Voodoo. I think it's him by a wide margin. And, I mean, he's got aggressive. He's got reduce. He generates 2 power all by himself. Yeah, it does everything. He has a big base. He's fat. All of it, right? He has all of it. And, no, you can still grab Bill and be bad and, like, make mistakes and whatever, right? You still got to be good at the game. But that's your knowledge of the game saying, I need this guy, right? We're going to a tournament. We're trying to win. Here he is, right? So here's my question, though. Like, let's say, for example, they redesigned the extracts or secures or whatever. And let's say in a perfect world, they figured out how to eliminate all midline grabs. Do you still think Bill would be...
Yeah, that's literally what I said. I was like, if Eyes on the Prize was banned, people would learn that they could just put Bill in the midline most of the time. And he's it, like, if in a world where everybody has to stay on the midline, Bill's one of the best. So you just do that.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, whatever. I don't need to rant about Bill anymore, but it's...
It felt refreshing not playing with him, by the way. I felt great. I don't know about you.
For sure, like, not playing him or playing against him was really nice, because even if, like, if we're not playing timelines, it's standard, and if I'm not playing Bill, my opponent's probably playing Bill, so, like, I'm just, you see the model all the time, and I don't actually fault anybody for playing him. Like, I watch people play him, and then same players don't play him, and their game looks a lot sweaty, like, scarier for them, you know, dicier, whereas, you know, there's just a lot of guaranteed things that Bill does. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's another thing about timelines, is it's people, at least for now, kind of try new things, but I don't know how true that is, because Brotherhood's in like every 3, and playing mirrors is kind of frustrating, like not fun at all.
I mean, yeah, every list building is going to be like that, though. No matter what format you're in, you're going to, okay, they're the best. Well, do you think, well, in your mind, do you think they're the best and have the most well-rounded stuff? You're going to take them, right? You're trying to win the event. That's the goal. So, you know, when you get, especially this one. I mean, we had 32 players in this one. I mean, pretty damn good players in that tournament, right? Sooner was there, Sploosh, Merzane, you guys, a lot of good players. So,
yeah, there's a lot of good players. Like, Lucas is there.
Absolutely. And they know, right? They know. They're like, okay, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to see a lot of lists like that. Where you're going to see the goofiness happen is, like, probably, like, roster 3 or 2, right? Because you're like, oh, my God, you know what? This is my most optimal one at Brotherhood. What else can I try? I just want to try this new roster here. Let me beef them up a little bit. Like, for example, I took Spider Foes, and probably that's not the popular opinion, but I was like, okay, cool, let me try them out. And I succeeded with them a little bit. You know what I mean? I was able to flesh them out a little bit because I was able to take away from Brotherhood because I knew I can play well enough without Rhino and just put him here. And be like, okay, I can make this optimal now. But yeah, no, it'll always be like that. I wish there was a world where, you know, nobody, you know, everyone had like three different lists 32 different times, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love for that, but it's just not the reality, right? It'll probably never be that way in anything, right? Because there's always going to be the best. There's always going to be stuff that's really good. So, and people are going to know, right? You have to be in a room with people that don't know. And you got to be the one that's in the know about everything to see that much variety. And you're probably going to win that event because they're playing things that are just whatever, right?
I've been like a little negative on this episode, but I do have fun. I do think MCP is fun right now. I think outside of Cosmic Ghost Rider is just not fun to deal with at all. But most of MCP is fun if you just accept that everybody has Bill in their list. And there's a lot of cool and good things in MCP, and by good I mean like competitively viable.
Oh yeah. I mean, the Christmas episode showed that, right? I mean, there were so many people with different... Dude, I had so much fun listening to my episode with Pat, right? Did an Inhumans episode, no Billy. We spent an entire 1 hour, you know what I'm saying? Chopping it up about Inhumans, and he actually got my mind moving on Inhumans in a different way that I never had it before. And there's still people innovating and building their own thing out there, and there's still a lot of crazy... I mean, dude, we have too many tactics cards. We have over 200 characters in this game. Like, there's some crazy shenanigans out there that people are still exploring and you might still see at a tournament. But, you know, that's just like any other game. Like,
one of the things that happened in our league was that in the cut, the first round of the cut was all rematches of Swiss.
God, is it miserable.
And, like, Chewy and I played... We've talked a little bit about it. We played two games. We played the same. We played in round three and round four. So we played the same rosters into each other, back-to-back games. If you're going to run a timeline event, fix the pairings in the cut so that that doesn't happen. Like, re-randomize it if possible, because my God, was it miserable. I love Chewy. Playing Chewy was fun. Playing the same person with the same rosters two games in a row in a competitive event is not an exciting prospect.
No, I didn't look forward to that at all. I wanted to play against something else, right? That was the whole point of me taking X-Men third, right? Because I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure no one's going to be playing Brotherhood in their third list outside of, well, Dean, you did. But I was thinking, my mindset was, okay, they're probably going to play Brotherhood first because they want Brotherhood for the finals. That was just my common sense thinking. I was like, okay, whatever. I took X-Men. I'm like, whatever, here we go. And I was hoping to play against anything else. But no, yeah, please do that. That was absolutely obnoxious. And the other thing is, yeah, anyway, yeah.
Just on that note, I looked at it and it was seeded. So like first played eighth and like second played seventh, et cetera, et cetera. So like it just broke down that way. I'm assuming he manually paired it that way because that's how it came out. So I don't know if that might be in AMG's rules for the event.
I think it's something that needs, if it is in the rules that way, needs to be changed because it's the big draw of timelines is unique rosters. It's playing something different every round. And when you don't get that experience, it's like, I was like, oh, this, I did not want to play the game.
No, I didn't either. I was like, fine, whatever.
And we could see it because like, hey, you want to play this weekend? Sure.
Yeah. Let's just go.
Like, the excitement was gone, right?
Yeah. So. 100% anyway. Out the window.
And it is in the rules, by the way. It is in the rules?
Oh, there you go. Okay, oh, so it's not even God. The TO's fault.
No, so the TO did it right, and it's a bad rule. So if you're going to run a timeline event, maybe change that rule.
All right. I think that will wrap us up there. Listeners, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.